Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of November 17th. Auntie Bee's Knees caught a great flick last week. The Matrix doesn't star Keanu Reeves or Lawrence Fishburne. Rather, it tells the story of Leo, a cartoon pig lost in the fantasy world of a small family farm. After swallowing the red pill, Leo discovers that his life is just a cog in the wheel of a massive factory farm. The cartoon, available for viewing at www.thematrix.com, that's M-E-A-T-R-I-X, highlights the cruel and environmentally destructive practices of North America's meat-producing industry. But many of the issues raised by the Matrix also apply to U.S. agriculture as a whole. In recent weeks, we've described how the U.S. government subsidizes its agricultural sector to the tune of $19 billion per year. These subsidies have played a major role in stalling negotiations at the World Trade Organization and for the Free Trade Area of the Americas. Developing countries complain that U.S. and European subsidies provide producers with an unfair trade advantage, allowing food to be exported and sold at an artificially low cost against which small farmers from poor nations cannot compete. Despite strong international pressure to eliminate subsidies and domestic rhetoric for so-called free trade, U.S. government spending on agriculture is at an all-time high. A 2002 farm bill commits the U.S. government to spend $180 billion over the next 10 years. On the surface, these facts make it seem as though America's farmers have a sweet deal, living off of government handouts while consistently underselling foreign competitors. In fact, the bulk of U.S. agricultural subsidies benefit only a small number of giant corporations, whose stranglehold on America's food production has been consolidated through the exploitation and destruction of family farms. U.S. agriculture subsidies are an incentive for large-scale, monocultural, cash-crop factory farming operations. According to research by the Environmental Working Group, 10% of the largest, most profitable farms collect more than 70% of subsidies, while the poorest 80% of farmers receive about 12% of subsidies, and 60% of farmers don't qualify for subsidies at all. Of the $180 billion being spent on U.S. agriculture in coming years, commodity programs make up $133 billion, almost 75%. Commodity programs reward farms that produce the most, supporting large, wealthy, intensive farming. Farmers must grow one of 8 program crops to be eligible. This discourages the sustainable, diverse crop production typical of small, family-owned farms. To raise yields and qualify for government assistance, farmers pour on pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers, or buy biotech seeds. They stop rotating crops to rest their fields and devote every acre to wheat, corn, soybeans, or one of the other 8 subsidized program crops. Vast monocultures are created, stretching across entire states. Biodiversity disappears. Monocultures require yet more chemicals to be sustained year after year, and vast crops require expensive equipment for planting and harvesting. The costs of farming rise. As costs rise, bigger farms buy out smaller farms. Farms run by seed, chemical, or food processing companies have a competitive advantage. As these companies increase production, commodity prices for raw farm goods drop, placing small farmers under further strain. Overproduction also makes farmers dependent on exports for survival, as far more is farmed than can be absorbed by the domestic market. Today in the U.S., 1 out of every 3 acres of farmland is cultivated for export. Exports are also subsidized by the government, leading to dumping of underpriced farm products on foreign markets and creating a further drop in commodity prices. Small family-owned farms are faced with a choice: go bankrupt or sell out to a larger concern. If they sell out, formerly independent landowner operators become serfs indentured to giant agribusiness corporations. Small family farms begin to disappear as agriculture consolidates into enormous industrialized chemical-dependent operations covering thousands of acres. As communities of small farmers disappear, the countryside depopulates and rural towns vanish. As small farms are crushed by low returns, a lack of government support, and the expansion of agribusiness, mid-sized farms become captive suppliers to corporate giants bankrolled by American taxpayer dollars. Even if they still own their land, most farmers must negotiate with a handful of corporations to bring their products to market. According to research by Food First, 3 multinational companies, Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, and Zen No, control 82% of U.S. corn exports. Four companies, Tyson, ConAgra, Cargill, and Farmland Nation, control 81% of the beef packing industry. Cargill, Senex Harvest States, Archer Daniels Midland, and General Mills together own 60% of the nation's grain terminals, while two of these companies, Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, are among the four that own 61% of the nation's flour milling capacity. Incidentally, Cargill received almost $11 million in U.S. Department of Agriculture subsidies last year. Archer Daniels Midland is known as the most prominent recipient of corporate welfare in recent U.S. history. A 1995 report for the Cato Institute revealed how Archer Daniels Midland and its chairman provided millions of dollars in contributions to both the Republican and Democrat parties in exchange for billion-dollar taxpayer windfalls. While a handful of shady agribusiness giants stake out a disproportionate share of the U.S. food market, paying the U.S. government to promote policies that are better for big business than small farmers, regulations intended to resist the corporate takeover of family farms at the state level are being challenged in U.S. federal courts as unconstitutional. A U.S. appellate court has let stand a ruling striking down South Dakota's anti-corporate farm law. The law, known as Amendment E, was passed in 1998 in an effort to protect family farms from unfair competition by large corporations and to stave off potential environmental disasters from factory-style pig farms like those depicted in The Matrix. The law banned non-family farm corporations from owning farmland or farming in South Dakota. Amendment E was challenged as unconstitutional by the right-wing South Dakota Farm Bureau and other plaintiffs, who argued that the law interfered with the constitutional right to interstate commerce. Groups supporting Amendment E are considering a long-shot appeal to the Supreme Court, or drafting a new bill to try and protect South Dakota's family farms. A law in Iowa prohibiting meatpackers from owning livestock operations was passed in the late 70s to protect independent hog and cattle producers from vertical integration by large meatpacking companies seeking to control meat production from calving through slaughter, packing, and marketing. Iowa's law was challenged by Smithfield Foods, the world's largest pork processor, and was ruled as unconstitutional earlier this year. The precedent set in South Dakota and Iowa could threaten anti-corporate farm laws in Kansas, North Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin, leading to the removal of state-level protections for family farms across the American Midwest. While there is no doubt that all small family farmers face increased pressure as a result of U.S. agricultural policies and court precedents such as these, the disappearance of American family farms has occurred along a racial divide. A report released last summer by Food First reveals that minority farmers are at much greater risk of losing their farms than their white counterparts. Black farmers in the U.S. leave their land at a rate nearly five times greater than whites. The Food First report found that U.S. subsidy programs and farm policies have contributed to this trend by discriminating against farmers of color. According to Food First, U.S. agricultural subsidies are also linked to increasing poverty and malnutrition across the U.S. As agribusiness eats up America's farmland, consumers are being forced to eat up overprocessed, overpackaged, and overpriced food. Most of the profits in agribusiness stem not from agricultural production, but from the sale of seeds, pesticides, fertilizers, and farm equipment, or from processing and marketing food. While U.S. agriculture subsidies are at an all-time high, farmers' returns as a percentage of the retail cost of food are at an all-time low, as overproduction and an increasing reliance on chemical, mechanical, and biotechnology create rising costs and drooping returns for farmers. The costs of processing, packaging, transporting, and marketing food are passed on to consumers. Farmers lose out from rising costs and falling commodity prices, while consumers continue to pay a premium at the grocery store. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the number of American households experiencing hunger has increased 3 years in a row. As many as 12 million American families can't afford to meet their food needs year-round. At the same time, overconsumption of heavily processed, heavily advertised, heavily fattening foods has contributed to an epidemic of obesity among America's poor, as the least expensive meals readily available to urban dwellers tend to be fast food specials or stale, high-sodium, high-fat, prepackaged goods from the shelves of discount retailers. After all is said and done, a box of Kraft dinner is cheaper than a head of organic broccoli. It also stays fresh longer, has stronger brand recognition value, and is more filling. But that doesn't make it better for you or for farmers. Obesity, hunger, pesticide-laced vegetables, polluted waterways, barren landscapes, bankrupt families, and cash dividends for the shareholders of Archer Daniels Midland. This is the legacy of U.S. agricultural subsidies. The subsidies have also left small farmers in neighboring countries in dire straits. Countless Mexican farmers have lost their land as the U.S. dumps subsidized corn and other goods on their country now that tariff barriers have been stripped away by NAFTA. Canada has begun to reduce its farm subsidies as our government calls upon the U.S. and Europe to lower theirs. But as subsidized U.S. and European crops continue to push commodity prices down on the global market, returns for Canadian farmers are insufficient to cover production costs, leaving many Canadian small farmers in jeopardy of losing their land without government support. According to Canada's National Farmers Union, this crisis is not due to agricultural subsidies per se. Rather, it is corporate concentration throughout the food system that has pushed profits out of the hands of farmers and into the pockets of giant chemical corporations, seed distributors, processing and packaging companies, and shipping and marketing firms. Of course, many of the leading multinational corporations with interests in these areas, such as Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, are also recipients of millions of dollars in U.S. government handouts, and significant players in the U.S. agriculture lobby, which gives millions of dollars to American political candidates at every election. Because of U.S. agriculture policy and corporate greed, family farmers across North America and around the world are losing their land and their livelihood. Instead of providing corporate welfare to multinational agribusiness, our governments should be encouraged to subsidize small-scale, ecologically sustainable family farms, while developing economies impose whatever safeguards are necessary to protect their agriculture sectors from being dumped on with unwanted, factory-farmed, subsidized food. Support small farmers by urging your government to assist small-scale growers and by eating local, unprocessed, fresh food. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and eat ethically.